Hello, and welcome to Nighttime Butterfly, the podcast that brings you horror stories, ghost stories, stories of the unexplained, stories that will leave the hairs on the back of your neck standing upright, and stories that will make you leave your bedroom light on. In today's episode, we have four stories from a bloke named John Price. I found John's stories on the Most Haunted Official page on Facebook, and he let me use his stories for this podcast. So without further ado, here's John Price's first story about the London Underground. I was a train driver on the Underground a few years back, and I'd pulled into Victoria Station and was waiting for a green signal when I noticed a lady in the monitor standing on the platform behind a member of staff, and I was wondering why she wasn't boarding the train. I could still see her in the monitor standing there a few minutes later. I pulled the window down to try to get the attention of a staff member who was also on the platform, and I noticed the lady had gone. I just assumed she had got on the train. Then I got the green signal, so I checked the monitor again and closed the doors. As I pushed the start buttons, I noticed the lady was still standing in the same position that I had seen her in originally. So I could see her in the monitors, but not when I looked directly at her. It was just a really peculiar experience that I can't really explain, as there was no way this lady could have got off the train that quickly and got straight back into the same exact position as she was originally at. Well, at least not without some kind of reaction from the staff members on the platform. So who was this mystery lady? Was she a figure of John's imagination? Or was she a ghost watching over Victoria Station and watching the trains race by? We'll let you decide. Our next story by John Price is called A Sixth Sense. Take a listen and see if you, our listeners, also have that sixth sense. In the 1980s, I was in the army doing a 6-month tour of Northern Ireland as part of a Royal Engineers search team. We'd been tasked to carry out high-risk searches in derelict farmhouses or do area route searches, looking for arms, explosives, etc. For the first week of our tour, we had one of the blokes from the previous tour with us to show us how they actually did the job on the ground compared to how we were taught in training, and we'd work out our own way of doing the searches after that. On our first job, we had to search a derelict farmhouse in the countryside, about 20 miles from Armagh, and after checking there were no command wires going into the farmhouse, we decided that the front door was the best entry point. We'd clear a safe lane up to it because there could be booby traps outside the farmhouse, pressure pads, trip wires, etc. After that, we'd set up a catapult type thing, the name of it escapes me, that would lob a sand-filled beer barrel at the front door to smash it in. While we were sitting around discussing all this, there's a loud crash, and the bloke from the previous tour had just gone up to the farmhouse without checking for booby traps and kicked the door in. He told us that there was nothing there, and after a couple of weeks you'll get to feel for it, and you'll know if there is anything there or not. To be honest, we thought he was a lunatic, but he was right, because after a few weeks, if there was anything that felt a bit dodgy about a job, then one of us would say, "There's something not right about this," or "I don't like this," and whoever it was, that feeling was always respected, and we'd be careful to do the search by the book. If no one had any worries, then we would take shortcuts. The strange thing about this feeling we got, and we all had that feeling out there, was we never all got it at the same time. It was only ever one or two blokes out of the eight of us. I had this insight myself a few times. On one job, we got a tip-off that there'd been suspicious lights seen in a derelict farmhouse, and when we arrived at the place a few days later, to my mind, there was something not right about it. Nothing looked out of place or suspicious that you could put your finger on, but I just got that sort of feeling you get when you know there's something behind you in the dark and the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. I told the rest of the lads about it, and we did the job by the book and found that the place had been in fact booby-trapped. I don't know how to explain this. Maybe it's some kind of primeval sixth sense that only surfaces in times of danger. Whatever the explanation for it, it's a good feeling knowing that someone is looking after you. So, have any of you got a sixth sense? Have you ever had a feeling that someone was watching you? Or that something just wasn't quite right? If you have, get in touch and tell us your stories. In this next short story by John, him and his wife go to a local pub and they get the feeling someone's popped by to say hello. About 10 years ago, me and my wife went out for a drink in a local pub. I hadn't been there since my dad had died about 5 years previous to this, and the only seats available were in the corner by the entrance door. I've gone up to the bar and got the drinks in, and as we sat there, I told her the last time I had been in there was with my dad, and that we sat in this exact same spot and in these exact same seats. As I said this, my wife said, "Ooh, look at that." I'd noticed a small speck of light out of the corner of my eye, between us, that I thought was the sunlight bouncing off my watch. As I looked at it, it slowly, possibly about walking pace, moved from our table to the other side of the bar opposite us, and then just disappeared. I'd say the light was maybe the size of a twopence piece. Where my wife saw from her angle was two entwined ribbons of light moving from us towards the bar before it disappeared. My wife's first reaction was that it was my dad. And I have to say, I agree with her. I think it was my dad. So, have any of you had any friends or relatives that have passed come back to say hello and check up on you? Or just to say, "We're fine, we're okay." Let us know your stories about that. Our final story in this episode by John is entitled Chatham Dockyard, from the days he used to work there. When I was a security guard at Chatham Dockyard, it had closed down as a Royal Navy barracks and dockyard by then, and it was just deserted. But it was a huge site, covering some 21 acres, and you'd have to patrol it in a car, which took a good 2 hours. I used to do the rounds at 10 p.m. to midnight, and 2 a.m. until 4 a.m. To prove you'd been around the site, you were given a heavy old clock thing on a strap that you'd go around to various key points. The key points were a key hanging on a chain. I think there were about 32 on site, and you insert the key into the clock, which gave out a time that you'd been there, and it was recorded on a paper roll inside it. I'd worked there for 2 weeks. I should say, I've never been scared of the dark, but there were two places there that really unnerved me. The first was the old officer's mess. Every time I went past it on my rounds, there was a light on the first floor. I never had a key to the front door, and to get in, I'd have to go through the door at the opposite end, walk down a 100-foot-long oak-panelled corridor in the dark because the light switch was at the other end. I'd get there and turn the light on, go up to the first floor to turn the light off, and then I'd hear running water and find that the shower had been turned on. Having visions of the film Psycho, I used to gingerly pull the curtain shower to one side. Shower curtain to one side, hoping nothing was there, and turned off the shower. Then turn the light off, get down the stairs, turn the corridor light off, and sprint down the corridor all the time, feeling like there was someone behind me. The next time I did my rounds that night, the light and shower were on again, so I'd have to go through the same palaver all over again. This happened twice a night, every night I was working there. The other place on there was what I later found out was the old hospital, a 1930s building near to one of the back gates. The key point was to one side of the hospital in an alleyway between two single-storey brick-built long buildings. The key itself was on a chain attached to the door halfway down the alley that was about 30 yards long. I parked the car with the lights shining as best as I could down this alley, but because of the position of the buildings to the road, I could never get it so that all of the alley was lit up. Everyone knows the feeling you get that there's someone watching you, but that there's someone behind you and the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. That's exactly the feeling I had every time I walked down that alley to the key point. A few months later, when I was working on another site, I was talking to one of the blokes about these particular key points, as he'd also worked at the dockyards, and I told him how it always freaked out doing the key point down the alley. He told me, "You know why, don't you?" "No," I replied. "That key point down the alley, that was the door for the old morgue." Ooh, that sends chills up my neck. Have you got any stories like this? Have you got any unexplainable stories? Any stories of ghosts, hauntings, or any stories of the abnormal? Please get in touch and share with us. Our email address is nighttimebutterfly@outlook.com. That's nighttimebutterfly@outlook.com. It would be amazing to hear from you. And a massive thank you to John Price for letting us use his stories on this episode. It would be nice to have John Price back in a future episode with more stories. But for now, this has been Nighttime Butterfly. Sleep tight.